Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
So while Republican candidates spar on stage in moderated, mostly civil debates, behind those curtains, off the stage, various super PACs are getting their hands dirty. In Iowa, this ad certainly sounds like it could have come from the Romney camp.
Newt has a ton of baggage, like the fact that Gingrich was fined $300,000 for ethics violations, or that he took at least $1.6 million from Freddie Mac just before it helped cause the economic meltdown. Then there's the $37 million Gingrich took from healthcare and industry groups.
That ad, by the way, and others like it, got Newt Gingrich very angry, and he took Mitt Romney to task for them, although Mitt Romney didn't pay for those, and neither did his campaign. It was paid for by a pro-Romney super PAC. However, Newt Gingrich has PACs of his own prepared to punch back. A Gingrich super PAC has launched a massive ad campaign in South Carolina, multi-million dollars, a 20-minute extravaganza starring Mitt Romney as a greedy corporate exec.
Wall Street's corporate raiders made billions of dollars. Mitt Romney became CEO of Bain Capital the day the company was formed. His mission? To reap massive rewards for himself and his investors.
You can only expect ads like these to grow as we get closer to Election Day. And this is all a result of the Supreme Court's 2010 ruling, Citizens United versus the Federal Election Commission, that significantly eased the rules regarding corporate and union campaign spending. And here's a little sample of what the candidates themselves had to say about super PACs. They were asked over the weekend by David Gregory of NBC's Meet the Press.
Governor, I wish you would calmly and directly state it is your former staff running the PAC, it is your millionaire friends giving to the PAC, and you know some of the ads aren't true. Just say that, straightforward.
Well, of course it's former staff of mine, and of course they're people who support me. They wouldn't be putting money into a PAC that supports me if they were people who support me. And with regards to their ads, I haven't seen them, and as you know, under the law, I can't direct their ads. If there's anything in them that's wrong, I hope they take it out. I hope everything that's wrong is taken out.
So we're joined now by Kathleen Hall Jamieson, director of the Annenberg Public Policy Center at the University of Pennsylvania. Good morning.
Good morning.
You know, this is one of the this kind of onslaught of ads was one of the things people worried about after the Citizens United case was decided. What exactly are super PACs allowed to do that, as Romney points out, under the law, the candidates can't do?
Well, the super PACs and the candidates are not allowed to collude with each other, so there can't be any coordination. But what super PACs are able to do is to raise unlimited amounts, stress that word unlimited, from individuals, from corporations, and from unions. And they do so with limited disclosure. There are some disclosure requirements, but they've been very effective at gaming the system. So many of these super PACs aren't going to disclose donors at all until after these early primaries. And there's actually a way to move through another kind of group that limits disclosure even more than that. So the main difference, they can spend unlimited amounts of money. They can raise it and spend it.
You know, many of the candidates have made a comment similar to what Romney said in that clip there. By law, I'm not allowed to direct any of these ads. But that seems to me like that's as hard to prove as insider trading. I mean, how does anyone know whether or not Mitt Romney or Newt Gingrich or anyone else knows what's going into these ads?
Well, you don't actually have to coordinate between the two to accomplish the same effect. And so my assumption always is that they're not actually talking to each other. They've got all the same polling data. They're asking the same kinds of questions. They come from the same kind of consulting culture. These are often individuals who in the past worked with the candidate. They just stopped doing it at the point at which they formed the super PAC. And so it doesn't take much to figure out what message would advantage a certain candidate and strongly disadvantage another. You don't actually have to talk to them to figure that out. And nothing stops that candidate from standing up in public and saying, I don't approve of that message. I think anything that's dishonest should be out of that ad. And this isn't true, and this isn't true, and this isn't true. They're just not allowed to, as Governor Romney says, write the ads and engage in communication behind the scenes.
Meaning that a candidate can pledge to run a completely positive campaign, no negative attack ads, and the super PAC does their dirty work for them.
And this has been around for a long time in various forms, the difference being the unlimited expenditure and the unlimited capacity to raise the money. We saw the party ads, for example, in 1996, carrying these burdens for the candidates. Then we saw the form called Issue Advocacy carrying these forms for the candidates. In general, when third-party groups come in, the content is more attack-driven and the accuracy level is lower. And the accountability directly tagging that content back to the candidate is more difficult for the media to do.
Well, let's take another listen. This is from Our Destiny PAC, which is a pro-John Huntsman super PAC.
They've risen, they've fallen, till two serious candidates remain. One willing to say anything, be anything. One who can actually do the job. John Huntsman has the best economic plan. Jobs record, foreign policy experience. He'll make America strong. One state can stop the chameleon. Vote John Huntsman.
And I don't know if this ad comes from it, but I know that one of the super PACs is partially funded by his father. It's hard to think that there's no coordination involved in these cases where there's such a close relationship.
But again, whether there is or not, you could accomplish the same effect that you would accomplish if you were coordinating, because you don't really need to coordinate to know what message is going to advantage and disadvantage one side or the other. By the way, one of the things that's very important about the capacities of these super PACs is that in the process of telling their story in this election, their content is getting into news. We just did it right now. And when that content comes through news, deceptive content can come through as well. In the beginning of this clip, you aired a piece from a pro-Romney super PAC that said that $300,000 in fines were assessed against Speaker Gingrich. Well, actually, what the Ethics Committee said was those were reimbursements for costs of the committee's investigation. Mm. You also have in that ad an attack on Speaker Gingrich, illegitimate attack, according to the fact checkers, on his supposed support for a One China policy. And so as news tries to cover the story, it faces the dilemma, how do you do that without airing any of the content, thereby advantaging the side with more money, and also airing deceptive content? And in the storyline that is, see how much money they're spending and see its effectiveness, the narrative doesn't lend itself to, and look at how duplicitous it is, here is our correction. We've got a piece on that, by the way, on flackcheck.org.
I was just about to say
the question, how do they get free play?
Yeah, at the Annenberg Centers, that's flackcheck.org. It'll tell you what's true and what's less than true in some of these ads. Kathleen Hall-Jamison, thanks as always, director of the Annenberg Public Policy Center at the University of Pennsylvania.